This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
That brings us to 7:10. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Up next, we're catching up again with the ambassadors from France and Germany as the UN General Assembly called for a rare emergency special session yesterday.
Yes, so a number of updates here, I think. The EU has agreed for the first time to jointly finance weapons deliveries to a third country to help Ukraine fend off the Russian invasion. A number of countries have also said they will provide arms to Ukraine. This is amidst the Russian President Vladimir Putin ordering Russia's military to put its deterrence forces, which include nuclear weapons, on special alert, citing aggressive statements by the West, so on and so forth. And there have also been photos and videos put up by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky of himself signing an application to the European Union.
Yes, so this follows first rounds of talks between Russian and Ukrainian delegations at the Belarus border that lasted 5 hours. No deal has been made, but they have agreed to keep talking. Meanwhile, presidents of 8 EU states have published an open letter asking for the EU to immediately grant Ukraine candidate country status. Now, we are, of course, going to be joined by the ambassadors themselves after this, but just a very quick look at responses from both Germany and France. So last Saturday, the German government decided to send 1,000 anti-tank weapons and 500 Stinger aircraft defense systems to Ukraine. Meanwhile, in France, French President Emmanuel Macron warned that the Ukraine-Russia war will last as he accelerated military deployment in neighboring countries. Macron also urged Putin to stop all attacks on civilians in Ukraine, as well as to preserve the country's civilian infrastructure and provide safe access. That's where we're at. Lots of developing updates as well. Let us know if you're following this. What are your thoughts? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by the German ambassador, His Excellency Dr. Peter Blomeyer, and French ambassador, His Excellency Roland Gallagher. Your Excellencies, good to have you back with us.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Lynn and Sharmila. It's good to be with you again.
So we are seeing some dramatic and historic shifts in policy from the EU, starting with that decision to fund 450 million in weapons and defense. What were the main catalysts for this? Peter, if you could start it off.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for receiving us here today again. There was an unprecedented breach of international law by Russia when it invaded Ukraine last week. And this demanded swift and unequivocal answer of the European Union, and there is this fund for these purposes, and it's true, it's for the first time that it is made use of, and I think it is a very good sign that the EU also in this field now shows action, shows activity. And I think that we all, not only the EU, but also the world, should stand together in condemning breach of international law and this invasion, this war of aggression of Russia, and should support Ukraine in its brave fight against the invader.
Peter is right. Exceptional circumstances call for exceptional responses. What I would like to stress, however, that this is not a matter of concern for the EU and Europe only. As Peter was saying, this is an exceptional breach. It's a breach of exceptional gravity of the UN Charter. And what we need to see now is we need to see all UN members speak up and stand by Ukraine and stand by the principles of the UN Charter.
So the special emergency session of the UN General Assembly is currently ongoing. What does the meeting aim to achieve? Roland, maybe you can start us off on this one.
Well, hopefully the meeting would achieve the maximum possible amount of unity among UN member states. Unity around perhaps four or five main messages. One, a call for the respect of sovereignty, territorial integrity, and political independence of Ukraine, a call for an immediate ceasefire and for the immediate and unconditional withdrawal of Russian forces from Ukrainian territory, a call for the respect of humanitarian law, and a call for the resumption of dialogue and political negotiations with a view to a pacific settlement of the conflict.
I can only second that what Roland just said, and I think that we need to show now in the General Assembly that we will not tolerate this unprecedented breach of international law. And I think that we also need to show to Russia that this is a total miscalculation, that they started this war, that we all stand united against them. They already had last week a total failure in the Security Council of the United Nations when a resolution against of the of more or less the same content as Roland has just described was at vote, and they could only prevent this resolution from passing by using, or let's say by abusing, their veto power. And I think that's a shame that they had to rely on that. There were 11 votes in favor, only 3 abstentions, and Russia was the only one who was against it. And I think now it has been forwarded to the General Assembly by the Security Council. Russia was the only country against that again. And now we need to show Russia that the world stands together against the Russian aggression.
Peter, if I could get you to tell us about the economic sanctions that have been imposed and how Russia has retaliated.
Yes, well, the European Union has imposed a number of sanctions against Russia. I think the most important one is the exclusion of about 70% of the Russian banks from the SWIFT system, so that they cannot facilitate exports or imports of Russia anymore. Those 30 banks which still can operate do this in advantage to European companies. For instance, we are still able to have energy imports, or Russia is still allowed to pay their debts. Then we have a blocking, a freezing of the assets of the Central Bank of Russia, which will prevent Russia from financing this war of aggression. And there is a number of personal sanctions against the oligarchs close to Putin and himself, which also aim at making life for them in Europe impossible. They are also not allowed to buy European passports anymore. They won't get a visa, and they can also not use their boats or their palaces, which they have in Europe. And these sanctions can also be intensified if there is need.
I think it's important also to see that some countries outside of the EU have joined the sanctions. Closer to Malaysia, Singapore has announced very far-reaching measures. But I would also like to point out that Switzerland, as everybody knows, is a neutral country, but Switzerland has decided to join the sanctions. We're not asking Malaysia to join the sanctions. We would like, of course, Malaysia to apply pressure on Russia. But what we are asking Malaysia to do, we're asking Malaysia to vote tomorrow in the General Assembly in favor of the resolution, as Malaysia did in 2014, when a similar resolution was put to the vote and Malaysia voted in favor. Again, we think Malaysia should stand by the UN Charter. I'm sure they do, and I'm sure that they will vote for the resolution tomorrow.
I think we have just a couple of minutes left with both you gentlemen. So the EU countries, many of them have said that they will accept Ukrainian refugees for the next 3 years. What are you expecting in terms of numbers and support? Roland, maybe you can start us off.
France and Mexico took an initiative yesterday to present a humanitarian resolution to the Security Council. We will see how this evolves. But the first indications that we are getting from the HCR, the High Commissioner for Refugees, are in fact a major cause for concern. Where the numbers are rising by the hour. The latest count was 560,000 refugees in less than a week, 160 internally displaced persons in Ukraine. So this is a crisis of major proportion, probably unseen since at least the Balkan Wars in Europe. All EU countries have taken measures to facilitate the entry of refugees into their territories. The German Bundesbahn, the railways, have decided that they could ride free into Germany. The French railways have decided the same thing. But in the long run, all states will have to contribute to the funding of humanitarian action. And this is why we're hoping that we can pass this humanitarian resolution that we have presented to the Council together with Mexico. Mm.
Yes, the High Commissioner for Refugees of the United Nations has stated that never in his professional life he has seen such a fast increase of refugees as we are witnessing now. But I can tell you also that all European member states are willing to help. There is an exceptional readiness to take them and host them without any bureaucratic problems. But we also have to see that this is only one of the many humanitarian problems. Now we will also have on Thursday a session of the Human Rights Council in Geneva, at which also Malaysia is a member, and Malaysia also voted for this for holding this session. And a commission of inquiry shall be installed. That is the aim of the resolution presented there. Manned by three persons who will be charged with looking into human rights matters in general. And then refugees, of course, will be very important, but even more important is the loss of life, which we have to deplore, and other humanitarian issues caused by this war.
Your Excellencies, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was German Ambassador His Excellency Dr. Peter Blomeyer and French Ambassador His Excellency Roland Gallagher speaking to us on the situation in Russia and Ukraine. Do weigh in. You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.